Church, let's not take that for granted, okay? That's not going on everywhere at churches where you're getting that level of not just music, but worship. Okay? Scott didn't pay me to say that. I'm just saying that we're blessed, and it makes everything better when you got good worship. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 15. The title of this is Here Come the Pharisees, or Here Come the Hypocrites. And I did not change this message. I planned on preaching this all day. I told Chris and Emmy since they were here I was going to preach on hypocrisy. But it's not true. This is not maintenance. This is preventive maintenance message. A preventive maintenance message. That means if Jesus left it in the Scriptures, then it's always possible that we can get here. I think there's two extremes. There's the ditch of sin, that extreme of sin, going out and living in sin, pulling away from God's truths and living way out in sin. And the other side is being a hypocrite or having hypocrisy, meaning we have a religious and we make up a bunch of rules and we try to keep ourselves by these rules over the middle of the road where it's God's freedom. Amen? The liberty of Christ Jesus. And tonight I want to preach on that. Before I get started, can I give y'all a couple things God's got me working on? I don't know why I want to do it. I never do this, but it's like divulging top secret information. I'll let y'all look in the lab. First of all, the first one, and this is a word that I shared with somebody just the other day. I think it was Mary Beth who stopped by, and she asked me a question. I said, she goes, you got a word? And I said, I got one. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Y'all know who he is? He is the last prophet before Israel goes into captivity and Judah goes into captivity. And I was reading this, and God really is working on this message through this. And he said, Jeremiah, they asked him again, what's happening? What's going to happen? He said, okay, if you go out and you surrender to Babylon, you're going to be okay. You're going to go into slavery, but you'll live. And the city will be okay. But if you don't, and you try to stay here, or if you try to run, then they're gonna kill you and burn the city. Okay? And they got mad at him. They were mad at Jeremiah. So they were so mad at him, and they were threatening to kill him, and they were definitely going to put him in the dungeon. They were going to definitely put him in the mire. They sunk him down. There used to be a cistern. That means there used to be a well, but instead of the well, there's just mud and mire because the enemy had cut off the city. Jeremiah asked a question. He asked him, he said, why are you not mad at the false prophets? Ain't that a good question? He said, why are you mad at me? I told you the truth every time. And it's happening. But you're mad at me when you should have been mad at all them false prophets that told you this wasn't happening. So I know God's working on this message in my heart to tell people, look, don't be mad at Christians. Don't be mad at somebody that tells you the truth about heaven and hell. Be mad at somebody who's going to tell you everything's going to be all right without Jesus. Amen? I thought that was a pretty cool one. Then, I don't know why I'm sharing this with y'all. Yeah, it's y'all get Open Door Wednesday, I reckon. It's not New Music Wednesday for me. The next one is, I was sitting there today, and this is going to be a message for people 18 to 30 years old, and then also everybody else to help people like that. Amen? Do you know that age group that's about to either get all the way into Christ or get out? Get all the way into their family or get out? Amen? It's about Abraham and Lot. And I've seen this. I've never seen it like this before. I was sitting there today, and God opened this whole message. It's about 17 points, so I don't have a problem sharing a half one with you guys. But he says, see, the main reason Lot and Abraham separated was over the sheep. The shepherds had come to him and said, we ain't got enough grazing land, and we ain't got enough room for the sheep. So Lot, who's Abraham's nephew, when God called Abraham out of his land into the promised land, he called him and he said, come on, let's go. He looked back and he said, I want to take Lot with me, my nephew, because he loved him. He goes, I want him to go with me. I'm going to love him like a son. And as time went on, God, I don't know. Y'all don't mind if I just preach three messages tonight, right? somewhere in a real bad place, Lot said, "You know what, Dad? You know what, Uncle, Father to me? I got too many sheep and you got too many sheep. I think I'm going to go this way." You know what he didn't understand? It wasn't about sheep. If we're not careful, we'll lose 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and you'll lose some people out of your family because they think it's about the stuff. And it wasn't ever about the stuff. Was it about the stuff? I didn't have kids because of the stuff. I had kids because I love my wife, and then I love them more than I love myself. The church is not about the stuff. We're about saving lives. But if you're not careful, you can be around a godly man, a godly woman, a godly man, and think about the stuff. And get mad about the stuff and leave because of the stuff. Instead of staying because the stuff don't matter, let it go, and let's see what God can do. Amen? All right, y'all hungry for those messages? Good. They'll be coming in about 3 weeks. Keep coming back. All right, let's talk about hypocrites. That way, see what I did is I tried to make it tall. I gave you appetizers where I could preach about hypocrisy. Now, I don't know what I did that for. God just, you know, when I get a word, it's so hard for me to hold on to it. It's like I want to preach everything I got right then, so it's like a kid with a new toy. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" Whoa. Man, what problems they had. I mean, you've got God in the flesh. You've got a man who's healing. You got a man who's teaching. You got a man who's delivering. You got all this stuff. And what do you want to talk to him about? Hand washing. Why are your disciples not hand washing? Why are they not washing their hands? It's unclean. I mean, these people were so mad because they were breaking one of their rules. I don't know if you know this, but the rabbis got together after all these years and put this thing called the halak. That's my best. That's my best Jewish accent. It's H-A-L-A-C-H-I or C-H-A. It's a list of all the religious rules that they had come up with that they had deciphered from the original law in the Ten Commandments. It was like 700 rules. Do y'all know where the Bible says you should not seethe a young kid in its mother's milk? What it meant is you shouldn't kill a baby animal while it's still nursing, right? You know what they think? You shouldn't have dairy and meat in the same room. You can go into an Orthodox Jewish home and they'll have one kitchen for meat and one kitchen for dairy. They separated both because we don't do milk and meat together. Wow, that's how religion is. It takes the law, it takes what God gives, it makes it sick and gross, and write another down word, impossible. Impossible. And it's always, it can never be solved, it can never be fixed. It's just all, and the reason I'm teaching this is because God warned His disciples of one thing. If you look over in Matthew 16, I think it is verse 6, Jesus had His disciples, and He didn't warn them about crack cocaine. I just had to say crack cocaine. He didn't warn them about crack cocaine, alcohol, prostitution. Let me think of another. I don't know. Gossiping. He didn't warn them about any of that stuff. Listen to what He warned them about. And Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Jesus said, I don't have to tell you about anything else except don't take on hypocrisy, not even a little bit. If you get a little bit of hypocrisy on the inside of you, it will swell up and take over everything. Have you ever had hypocrisy? All right, all you say, no, you get on the altar right now. You're a hypocrite. Just kidding. Have you ever been mad at somebody for something that you do? I have, you know? Or have you been mad at somebody that's doing something less than you do? Or have done. I'm not saying do, have done, right? I have. I mean, you'll be twisting the wind about somebody. Let's just say a family member's doing something and you're so upset about it, and then all God reminds you of where you were at that same age, that same time, and that same place. And you're like, man, they need to straighten out their life. They need to figure this out. They need to understand. And God says, hey, I'd like to take you down a little trip down memory lane. 1990. No. Right? But that's what he's warning us against. He's warning, if you're not careful, you can get the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of this, and it will ruin you, and it will ruin your walk. Let's go in verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, who did? Because it's about to get red letters, who answered? All right, good, because I want you to know this. Sometimes the only language a hypocrite, the only language somebody who's a legalistic person will understand is the words of silence. I like that. Sorry. Their best language is don't talk to them sometimes. Woo! Okay, I'll move on. But he answered and said, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Man, they threw a jab or a left hook, and Jesus countered with a uppercut to their spiritual jaw. Amen? Because they said, you're not washing hands. Jesus said, you're breaking the law. And who is he? He's God. He wrote the law. So he went right to the heart of the matter. Jesus confronted them and said, look, you're talking to me about a tradition. I'm talking to you about the law. Woo! God's a good defender, ain't he? Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut up and let God defend. Amen? I'm being honest. Let God defend you. Let God stand for you. Let the Word of God stand for you. Sometimes you don't have to defend everything. Man, I love this. He's standing tall. Man, Jesus, hey, you're talking about traditions. And listen, guys, churches have traditions. But if they're not in the book, you better let go of the tradition and grab hold of God. Amen? There's some things that are good traditions. But if we're going to wrestle around to the point where somebody's going to stay in faith or stay in church, or we need to say, whoa, that's just something we do. Amen? That's just something we do. That's not of the Word of God. That's just something we've done a long time. That's been handed down. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Okay, what he went to is he went to honor thy father and mother, that your days shall be long upon the earth. He said, man, he was going to him straight at him, and he said, look, what I'm telling you is you need to honor your father and mother, not only in words, but in actions. Man, they knew they were in trouble because God didn't come at them indirectly. He came them right down the pipe. I mean, he's coming right at them because he knows something. That don't ever get in an argument with God. He knows everything. Amen. I tried to argue with him. I tried to wrestle with him, and I tried to get my way, and it's futile. It's you wear yourself out. I mean, he'll put his hand on your forehead, and you'll stand there swinging until you're done and dead, tired. Amen. I love this. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. When I read that, I'm like, what? Y'all read that and go, what? What does that mean? Can I help y'all out? Can I get a volunteer? Gary? Can you read that verse for me? Please? You're my volunteer. Read it and read 5:2. Okay. You hear what he said? What is gained to you, what would have gained to you is now a gift to God. And I read that and I studied that out. I'm like, what are they saying? Man, these jokers came up with a rule. Listen, they were religious elites. And you know what they said? They would say, hey, mom, dad, I've devoted all my stuff to God. And I'm a priest, so I dedicated it to myself. And then guess what? When I die, I'm giving it all to God. So I ain't going to help you out. What? So they had mothers and fathers who needed help physically and financially. And you know what they told them? That stuff I have, I've dedicated that to God. It's a gift to God. It's not for you. So you know what that did? Can y'all stay with me? Because I want y'all to get this. Not only did they do that, but they got applauded for it. They got man, how spirit, look how much you've given to God. Amen? Man, you say you're going to give your whole house and all your land to God when you pass? Yes, I am. What does that matter? Nothing. It doesn't matter anything. Because what they have done, they have subverted the law that said honor your mother and father. What they've done is, I'm going to honor myself while I'm alive and take care of my own self, and I'm going to let them go without. But guess what? That's how hypocrisy works. That's how phony religion works. Phony religion can mess you up, can't it? People can dress a certain way and look a certain way and act a certain way and follow a bunch of rules, and it'll make you feel inferior. Oh, goodness gracious. I wish we could. Can we be real about this stuff? Because I took a long time to think about this. I have thought about this a bunch. How people work. They'll start doing a bunch of rules and doing a lot of things and maybe even good works. And they'll wear certain outfits and they'll do all these different things. And when they stand next to you and you say, well, why are you going to heaven? Why do you think you're so good? Because of what Jesus did at Calvary. I'm forgiven. And they'll say, what? And you eat that? And you wear that? And you don't do this, and all of a sudden, man, you start going, wow, I'm pretty much less than this person, right? I seem less than because they've got all this. Man, sometimes I'll go to hospitals, and sometimes I'll go to wherever I have to go, and man, I'll run into a priest. Oh, we all run into a priest. They walk in, I'm like, wow, all f***ed out. Here I am in a pair of, well, I'd like to tell you I wear a suit every day, but I do not. Amen? Here I am in blue jeans, hiking boots, and a button-down for the most part. Well, let's be honest, a polo. And my favorite jacket, whichever it was that day, right? In the winter. And man, I don't look like a preacher. I run into somebody one time at the grocery store, and they said, you don't look like a preacher. I said, thank you. Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to say that. Thank you. I take that as a high honor. But anyway, but you stand next to these and you look at them, and man, they are something. I mean, they look like something. They're acting like something. I'm not against them. I'm just saying, if you don't mind, I don't care. I don't. Because I got enough Jesus in me to save me for an eternity and to save the whole world. I don't care what you got on. I don't care how much stuff you do or don't do. I don't care what you eat or don't eat. I don't care what you put on or take off. I've got Jesus, baby. He's in here. I don't have to live up to you. He lived up for me. That's it. Guess what? When I walk in that room, when I walk in some place, I'm not going in there to help you in my own power and strength. I'm coming to tell you about somebody who can. I'm coming to pray for you about somebody who can. I'm not coming in that room because, oh man, the man of God's here. No, I want to tell you that he can come in here when I leave. Amen? You understand? Because man, religion and hypocrisy can do a lot of stuff. It can shake you. Well, I read this and I do that. And all that's great. Supplement, supplement, supplement. But without the blood of Jesus Christ and him alone, everything you're doing is waste. Amen? You can lean over to that same person who's all doing all that stuff and you say, have you fully put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary? Yes, but. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, amen? Because guess what? I want y'all to get this. Persons that are talking to Jesus, they're wearing a robe, mufflers, wimplers, and crisping pins. I know you don't know what those are, but they're pretty cool. They're wearing on their breastplate, they've got 12 jewels that shine in the sun. All that stuff they're wearing, praise God. All that stuff they're wearing, God told them to wear. Amen? Oh, let me break it down this way. All that stuff they're wearing, Jesus told them to wear it. Amen? Because the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, they are one. He's standing in front of them. He's wearing nothing that's good. He is like the tabernacle in the Old Testament. See, on the outside, he looks like blah. On the inside is the holiest of holies. And see, they were opposite. On the outside, they looked good. But on the inside, they were like dead men. Listen, I don't care what you look like on the outside, and I don't care what you look on the outside of. On the inside's a mess, get your inside fixed. Amen? Because that's the more important thing. These guys were messing around with God. They were playing checkers, and God's playing chess. Hallelujah. You should have said chess loud, Scott. Verse 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Lord, help us if we ever get there. I'll go back and read that real slow at the end. Let's look at that. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Word of God outweighs whatever our traditions are every time. If somebody can go to the Word of God and say, you show me that, and we can't show it to them, it's gone. Amen? It's gone. But if we take it to the Word of God, it ain't never going to be gone. Now, if somebody says, show it to me in the Word of God, and I show it to them in the Word of God, and they say, well, I still don't care. I'm like, well, I don't really care that you don't care. Amen? Because the Word of God is what we're going to stand on. Amen? That's good. Verse 7. Golly, can y'all handle this? Who is this talking? Just make sure. I don't know if you got a red letter Bible, but do you? Is this still Jesus talking? Okay, I thought so. Because look what he says. Ye hypocrites. I love Jesus. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God would rather have a sincere heart over a sincere mouth every time. I don't care how good people talk out of their mouths. I don't care what they say and how they say it. It's out of here. It proceeds out of here. And you know how God gets that out of us a lot of times? He shakes us. See, anybody can look and say, anybody can say what they want to say and pretend and put out, but when life shakes you real good, the contents come flying out. Don't it? You want to find out who somebody really is? Let something really bad happen to them. Like, let them hit their fingernail with a hammer. You'll find out how spiritual they are. Are you speaking in tongues, friend? Amen? That's a different kind, but I just want you to get that. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and the commandments of men. What they're doing is you're putting over what you think and what your rules are over what God says. And it's easy to do because we all have pet peeves. Everybody in this room has pet peeves. Everybody's got something about spiritual church that if somebody else does it, you go, oh, I can't stand when they do that. I don't like it when they wear that. I don't like it when they don't wear that. I don't like it when we do. You know what? It doesn't matter. Amen? It doesn't matter if God says it's okay. Amen? If God says it's okay. Verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Listen, Jesus is going to put them on blast right here. He says, oh, everybody come round. I bet them Pharisees says, what's this right here? He ain't got no answer for this, right? Not that which goeth into the mouth defile a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. You know what he just said? Don't wash your hands. All the teenage kids in the room went, yeah! Sorry, y'all get that if you had kids. Especially anybody around the age of 13 to 15. I'll have to apologize after service. Anyway. But he says, you know, it's not what goes into a man, it's what comes out. And that's the truth. It don't matter what you can do all the things in the world you want to do. Amen. You can eat what you wear what you want, do it, but praise God, what's in here? Amen. God is the only one who looks on the heart. Amen. God looks on the heart of the matter. He can cut through. He's got a sword. He cuts through the marrow and the thoughts and the intentions of you. Amen. He knows your heart. And so it's you can't hide nothing from Him. Amen. But we think we can, but we can't. God cuts all the way through that. He looks right at that matter. He's like, I don't care what you say. Yeah, that sounds real good. That sounds real good. But you know what? I know your heart. In your heart, you got some other stuff. He goes, I don't care all the religious stuff you do on the outside. It's on the inside. Y'all ready? Can y'all handle this? Hey, Jesus is a good teacher, right? Look what He does at the end of this verse. Then came His disciples. Who? God, I love these guys. This is awesome. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? Golly, Bob, did you hear what he said? They come to say, do you know that they were offended? Can I just be honest with y'all? I love this. There's nothing like seeing a legalistic person offended. Because really, they're not offended. They want you offended. They want you mad. They want you. They're always upset. They're always tore out of frame. It's okay when God does it to them. Oh, I'd love to have been there. Somebody, you know, you got to pray this time. You got to do it this time. You got to do it my way. If you don't do it my way, I don't like it. When you just say, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm so offended, right? That carpet's not the color that I wanted. I don't care. Amen? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought up carpet color. We're building a building, you crazy preacher. Golly, what's wrong with you? Don't you know we're going to have to deal with this? Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. We're just going to get rainbow-colored carpet. It won't matter. No, we're not. No, we're not. Don't come to me after church. I ain't getting that. I know we're not. I'm dismissed. Y'all took that in three different ways, and I'm sorry that I said it. Verse 13, but He answered and said, every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Listen, you know what He's saying right here? He said, I don't care if they're offended, if it gets them right. They need to understand, I'll root them up here. Right. It'd be better for them to be offended and be rooted all up right here instead of being rooted up at the end. I don't mind them being offended. Amen? Now listen to this next part. This is some good advice. Y'all want it? Well, the next thing is, can you do it? Probably not. I hope so. I've been guilty of doing it and not doing it. Y'all all right? Let them alone. What? This better than me. What? Leave them alone. The best language they understand, don't talk to them. Man, I've done this. I've had a legalistic person in my face. Time, money, this, did this, didn't do that, this, that. You know what you did? I did this. I promise I did this. Just step to the right. They're still down there talking. Don't you care, Dr. Carson? Hey, good to see you. Love you, man. Keep coming back. We're glad to have you. You know why? Because I'm probably never going to change this person because they didn't come to change. You know what? I want to minister to the people that want Jesus or the people at least will listen about Jesus. Amen? Y'all get it? Hey, Jesus said it. I didn't. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. Let them go. Man, that's so hard, ain't it? It's hard. Because when we see them, we're like, oh, but maybe we can rescue them. Maybe we can satisfy them. And then you try to go rescue them again, and they, what? While you're, God, can I preach like this? I hope y'all can handle it. While you're rescuing them, you're not supposed to be wearing this while you're rescuing somebody. I'm about to kick you down in this ditch even further. Amen. Hey, while you're trying to get me out of here, why weren't you down there at this time about 9? Why weren't you over at 11? Jesus told me to leave you alone. Amen. Y'all good? It's there. I'm just telling you how Jesus sees it. Amen. Now y'all like that part, but you won't like this other part. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? Huh? Does it sound good? Does to me too. Peter steps in it again. and can't help himself. Hey, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yeah, I bet he made a scene in front of everybody else. Stood up. I bet he stood up. Jesus. They're like, yes, Peter. Yes, Caiaphas. Yes, Little Rock. Little Rock. Sorry. It's in my mind. Yes, Rock. Yes, Peter. What do you got? Knows what he has. Will you decipher the scripture for us, Lord? All spiritual sound. Y'all good? Can you tell us what that parable meant? What goes in a man doesn't defile a man. What comes out of a man does defile a man. Can you break it down for us in a Bible study form? Okay, I added a little bit to that, sorry. Y'all listen to what Jesus says. I want y'all to get this because Jesus is brutal even to his own people. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Sit down, Peter. You want another prize. Have you ever... God, listen, Jesus talks to his people like a football coach. Like a basketball coach. Like a teacher. Amen? Who was the hardest teacher you ever had in school? Who's the worst bus driver you ever had? I'm just kidding. Sorry. I had to do it. You understand what I'm talking about? Listen, that's who Jesus is. He's trying to make you better. He's trying to make you better. And sometimes better don't take, hey man, you're great. You're the best Christian in the world. You're so smart. You're so... Sometimes, are you stupid? Are you dumb? Listen, do you not have any understanding? That's old English for you're dumb. Or are you dumb? Okay? So don't worry when you come to the house of God and the Word sometimes gets you and hits you and you feel like, man, Jesus is hurting my feelings. Yeah. Because he don't mind to hurt your feelings to get your faith right. He don't mind to hurt your feelings to get your faith right. Man, I don't like it when Jesus talks to me that way. I'm no dummy. I wonder how long Peter... You know he had to sulk. I would have. You're the one who called me. You're the one who sent me. I was fishing. I was having a good life. You came by. I don't have no understanding. Man, I'm glad Jesus talks like this, don't you? Because it helps me. Because sometimes it feels like God asks me, what's wrong with you, Kevin? I mean, this is like the 50,000th lesson we've done this way. Verse 17, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught? Chris, do you want to explain that to us? No, I didn't think so. It's a simple formula. If it goes in here, it goes down here. Yeah. It's a system. God worked it out good. What he was saying is, whatever you put in, it's for energy. It's for nutrients, and then the body disregards the rest. Don't worry about what goes in. If it don't kill you, keep eating it. Amen? Jesus, the 5-second rule is all right. Some of y'all got like a minute and a half. Amen? I know some of y'all got toddlers. You don't even care. You're like, let's keep on eating, kid. That's going to build up your immune system. Amen? But those things, what does matter? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh from the heart, and they defile a man. What happens is when life shakes you, the contents will come out. When you're stressed, when you're mad, when you're tired, when you didn't get your way, when things didn't go your way, when God didn't do what you wanted Him to do, but He's doing what He wants to do, these are the things. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. If these things are coming out of your life, you need to get right with God. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what's going into your... It doesn't matter all the religious ceremonies in your life. What matters is when life shakes you, you fall down to the foundation of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. When life is the hardest it's ever been, you still say with tears running down your eyes and you can't catch your breath and you don't know why you're going through this and you're hurting so bad your insides feel like they're going to shake out, you still say, God, I love you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I still love you and I trust you with all that I am. But I'm scared and I'm mad and I'm hurt. But in my heart, you know that I love you. Amen? These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Jesus says, I'm here to set you free. I'm not here to put you in the bondage of more rules and law. And that's what I love about Jesus. If you really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll find out one thing. He has set you at liberty. That's one thing. I came up in legalistic faith early in my walk, and it didn't take me long for God to show me that ain't the way it is. And praise God, it feels good when somebody says, you have to do this, and I go, no, I don't. And just keep on trucking. Amen? But He's good. Amen? If you're saved and you're born again and you're in faith, and when life shakes you, when you get a situation where you should have gave in, you should have gave up, you should have quit on God and you didn't, that's when you say, man, God, this is good. Amen? I don't like bad things to happen to me. I don't, and you don't either. But sometimes they boil me down to my faith. Amen? They boil me down to the place where I say, yeah, it's just me and you. Amen? It's just me and you. When it comes down to it, it's just me and you, and that's fine. Amen? Y'all good? That help you? Let's all stand.